I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Thank you, Vicar. Hello and welcome. This is the 100th episode of the Confessions Podcast.
Is that true?
It should be like etched in gold.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I think so.
This
Look
is
at
a,
that.
Do we get free gifts?
No.
Pay rise?
Yes.
No.
No, right, okay. No.
Well, I that'd be nice.
It would be cool.
Anyway, Sister Susie ain't in the pub because she's here.
All right, here.
Brother Matthew is also here.
Yes.
And Sister Holly is also here sitting on top of the tack cupboard like normal.
Like an angel on top of a Christmas tree.
Oh. Isn't that true?
Or like a protective gorilla in front of its cave.
Rude.
Actually,
she did say that she was an angel, and we've countered back straight away with gorilla.
I just think actually, gorillas don't live in caves. So actually,
no.
Then angels don't live in trees.
No, they don't. No. Yeah. We're fact-checking all the way through this one. Yeah. I like it. Good.
Sister Holly, definitely an angel as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. Yes.
Coming up, we're going to be stopping at the parish notice board, OVS, for all the latest notices and 5-star reviews. We'll also head to the Not For Broadcast section, which feature the all the confessions that are just too filthy to make it on air, and or just illegal, frankly, and all the confessions that made it to the show on Greatest Hits Radio, Drive Time 4 till 7. Thanks for listening. Including Howard's Pocket Money Horror Story, Carry On Banks, Pauline's Christmas Day Tale, Baby It's Cold Outside, Tony's Confession, Par for the Course. But first, we're kicking off with a confession that taught us a very interesting anagram of Xmas trees. It's David's Tale, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
The first of our Christmas confessions.
Oh,
very good.
Ooh.
This one comes from David, not his real name. Father Simon, 12 certificate. The events happened a number of years ago and feel it's time to own up and seek forgiveness. In the 1980s, I started working at a garden centre in Oxford. This was not my choice, but my parents said, take the job or find somewhere else to live.
Oh, right.
And the compliments of the season to you too. When I started, I was given all the fun jobs, potting nearly 1,000 prickly gooseberry plants without gloves, sweeping all the paths every day, shoveling compost and weeding all the plants. This went on for many months until a new junior started, and then he got all the horrible jobs. The elderly gentleman, who we shall call Derek, who was in charge, was a stickler for detail and tried to make everything for the garden centre all about himself, and he spent a lot of his time in his workshop. This workshop had everything a keen DIYer would want and was out of bounds for everybody. Having been caught in there a few times looking for screws and nails and just about keeping my job, we all knew where the lie of the land was.
Where it lay, yes.
Where the lay of the land lay.
Lay.
How the ground was laid.
Laid.
With compost.
Yeah, with the garden.
With the garden and the hose.
Yeah.
Okay, so we relieved the boredom and repetitiveness by playing tricks on each other, and this steadily got more risky and outrageous, culminating in the events that happened one Christmas. Derek was looking for a new sign to replace the faded and tatty banners on the roadside advertising Christmas trees, announcing that he would make a much more obvious sign. He disappeared into his workshop for many weeks. Can't be that complicated. Anyway, 2 strips of wood were screwed up across the front of the garden centre about 4 feet apart. Large 5-foot fluorescent green letters were attached to the strips spelling Christmas trees, but it was spelled Xmas trees.
Yes, of course.
Okay?
Yeah.
In large 5-foot fluorescent green letters.
Right.
Very important.
Wow.
Then when finished, this was clearly visible from the main road, having a number of spotlights illuminating it. These letters screwed top and bottom. On Christmas Eve, after the last customers had left and getting bored, I looked at the sign and wondered what anagrams you can make out of Xmas trees.
No. Yes. Yeah.
And so it was that in the Christmas of many years ago, this Oxford Garden Centre advertised an unusual festive suggestion. Because after a quick adjustment with a cordless screwdriver, the new sign said, Sexmaster.
Wow. Yeah.
Little did I know that the sign was not noticed by the owners until well after Christmas. There was an inquisition, but nobody owned up. I left some time later, carried on working in garden centres, and I'm now a managing director of a popular one.
Oh.
I seek forgiveness from Derek, as I certainly deeply upset him and his high moral standards, which were severely dented. Best regards, David, who's in charge now of a garden centre. Where he wouldn't tolerate any signs like that, I don't think. I didn't know that was an anagram, but anyway, there you go.
Well,
who knew what Xmas trees could turn into?
See, yeah.
Sister Susie, welcome back, by the way. And what do you say to David?
Well, David, I think it's really hard, isn't it? Because I hear what you're saying. You didn't really want the job. You know, he was a bit mean and you know, you were a bit bored. Working Christmas Eve, who likes to work Christmas Eve? I can see where you're going. But 5 foot these letters were. Can't have that saying that on the side of the road for a while before it was noticed. I just think it's a very, very funny, but I can't forgive you.
Okay. You get a different kind of customer going in, I suppose.
Well,
you?
Yes.
Brother Matthew, what do you say?
So I'm going to forgive. A bit of fun, really, wasn't it? And the owners didn't even notice, did they? Maybe they should be taking more interest in what's out in front of their garden centre. Or maybe they were fine with it. We don't know. But it was fine. I used to work in a garden centre, and I only lasted 2 weeks.
Because
I had nothing to do with Sex Master or anything else. It was to do with backbreaking work, shoveling all the compost. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The way you said Sex Master made it sound like Pot Master.
Yes, it did sound, but obviously I was referring to the thing in the...
Would that be a good quiz idea for Drive Time?
Sex Master.
I'm going to say no.
Multiple choice.
Struggle to get compliance across that one, I think.
Yeah, still no.
Fair enough. Anyway, people's verdict time. Well, Matt did this one in one breath, pretty much.
And Andy B, who's decided to keep his verdict under 40 characters, says, having to work Christmas Eve and no damage done to customers as store closed and anagram is brilliant. There you go. If you don't put any punctuation in, and also you just there's a stream of consciousness, that's how I'm going to read out your podcast.
I like how when we get those messages, I could add punctuation for you.
Yeah.
But I don't.
We choose
the fact that you enjoy ones with punctuation.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is funny. Yes, agreed.
Very good. Anyway, let's turn our eyes to the parish notice board. Matt will punctuate it as he goes through the five-star comma reviews.
Five-star comma reviews. Says CNS. CNS. Says 5 stars. Dear Botticelli and the Cherubs. Well done, CNS. Fab 5-star confession podcast. If I've previously submitted a confession which didn't make the cut on the dark side, can I try again with the same confession now?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Because it probably wasn't included because it was useless.
Oh, really?
I would have thought so.
Well, yeah, I would say if it didn't make it over there, it's probably not going to make it here. But he could send it in again if he wants to.
Yeah.
Do we have lower standards or higher standards?
I was about to say that. Is it because of the standards?
Same standards, I think.
Standards.
I'm the same person.
Anyway, you know, send it in.
Yeah, do that, CNS. Pete M says 5 stars. So happy to have found the latest Confessions podcast. Utter joy. Living in New Zealand, I miss being able to listen live, but love to catch up with the podcast. That's just like the straightforward, isn't it? Is somebody can't listen and they catch up. Well, that's why the podcast is there, Pete M.
I think Pete, if you could get...
the Rayo app.
Yeah, get the Rayo app, because I think if you've got like an email address based in the UK, you can listen wherever you
want. How does that... Who's got an email... They don't know what your email address is in the UK.
If you've got a... If you're based overseas, I think it's a problem. But if you're based here, you can enjoy Greatest Hits Radio wherever you are via
the Rayo app.
But if you're a foreigner, based in foreign...
Yes, and you don't count on our figures.
That's right, and you don't contribute in any way financially.
To society, yes. That's right. Well, that's right. Well done, Pete.
Well, you contribute to New Zealand society, but not British society.
Yeah, but not to society. Mm-hmm. Yes, good point. Dave Barrett says, 5 stars, Simon Mayer's Confessions got my top stop. Got my top stop in Spotify Wrapped.
It's spot.
Does got
Sorry,
my top
my
spot
fault.
In Spotify Wrapped. Obviously, 5 stars, Matt, for Prime Minister. There it is. And Dave Barrett has Simon Mayer's Confession. Got my top spot. More in my Spotify Wrapped. Obviously, 5 stars, Matt, for Prime Minister. Well done. Oh, that's basically the same thing. Well done, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should have maybe
twice.
Read that before I read it again.
I did.
You did. And then I did as well. Yeah. And finally, Kev got in touch to say he streamed us for 977 minutes and was a top 22% fan.
Whoa.
In the top 22%.
If you were in the top 2 or 3%, it'd be top 1%. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Someone's got to be.
Yeah.
Right, 977 minutes. How many is that in old money? What's that?
That's 3 and 6 pence.
3 and 6. I think it's like 7 hours. No. More than that. Anyway, great thought. Well done, Kev.
Yeah, thanks, Kev. I mean, all our listeners are much appreciated, but if you're higher than 22%, like Kev, you know, like top 5%, that would be really good.
Yeah.
Please get in touch. Susie, what have you selected from your notice board?
Well, I've got an email here, and I think you're going to find it hard not to give out some tat here.
We'll see.
Dear Father Simon and the Forgiving Collective, I am writing to express my gratitude for your service and commend you on such a wonderful podcast.
Going well.
Good start, yep.
I've been listening to Confessions for as long as I can remember.
Okay.
Introduced to it by my parents, who would often listen on long car journeys, and I would ditch whatever film I was watching to join in. I have fond memories of driving across Spain, hearing the shocking confessions of strangers, laughing aloud with my parents and siblings to hilarious stories brought to life by Simon's dulcet tones.
Hello.
One that still stands out to me is the tale of a father who needed to fill his car up at the petrol station and, unbeknownst to his children, used the pay at the pump method, which was a fairly new concept at the time. Instead of explaining what he'd done, he pulled away from the petrol station a getaway driver, leaving them thinking that he hadn't paid for his fuel. I think of this every time I need to fill up my car, and it always makes me chuckle. I am now 22 years old and was ecstatic to listen to the latest version of the podcast. I have listened to all of the podcasts that were made in the dark place so much that I knew them off by heart and would only listen to them to fall asleep.
Oh, thanks.
I have tried to use these new ones to do the same, but find that I just lay there with my eyes closed laughing to myself instead of peacefully drifting.
There you go.
So, makes sense. Instead, I listen to the podcast when I drive up to Sheffield to see my partner, who currently resides in hospital due to fracturing his spine in July. One podcast episode is the amount of time it takes for me to get there to the hospital, so I listen to 2 each day that I do the journey, and it makes the journey feel much less lonely. He's doing really well, and it's looking like he'll be coming home at the end of January, though life will be forever changed. At least I'll have the Confessions podcast to make me smile when I'm feeling low. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Sister Holly and Brother Matt, though in my short 22 years I have nothing worthy enough to confess to, I could no longer stay a silent listener and decided that I must extend my thanks for the light that your podcast brings to a gloomy time in my life. It is here that I humbly ask for an item of tat from the tat cupboard, since I am essentially a lifetime listener. It would simply make my year and make my mum jealous, since she has been listening to Confessions since she was my age.
Wow.
Keep up the excellent work. All the best. I think it's Evelyn. And then she said, sorry, everyone pronounces it wrong, so I have to be safe that you get it right. So she's put
Evelyn. So 3 syllables.
Evelyn.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me as though Evelyn is entitled to the cupboard, basically.
Yeah, I
Never
think so.
Never mind the tat that's in it. We could give her the entire
cupboard. Give her the whole cupboard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can't give her 30 mugs, you know, it just doesn't work like that.
No.
But
she might not want 30 mugs.
No, to be honest, we'll give her 1 mug and 1 lovely postcard signed by us all, which will be really, really nice. And thank you so much for getting in touch. It's a lovely message.
Yeah.
We can't sign the mug, can we?
No.
Because that'll also come off in the wash, but we sign the card.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, Evelyn, thanks for getting in touch and all the best to you for Happy Christmas and to your other half as well. And hope he continues to make a good recovery and all the best for the new year. So send in your stuff for the parish notice board. Short ones to be read by Matt with 5 stars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Important ones to be read
by
Susan.
Yeah.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions too. Ptolemy of Bath,
come on.
Ryan Drews, Pam and Polly, Lightbound and Ed Howard, 74, who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Botticelli and the Cherubs. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this here podcast. Let's now hold hands and head towards the rather grubby part of the podcast, the Mark Knopfler section, the Not For Broadcast section, starting with you, Jodie. Jodie, I know you didn't enjoy getting caught hedgehopping as a teenager, and I understand you felt the urge to get your own back on the poor homeowner who told you off, but sneaking back in the dead of night to leave a very human gift by his drainpipe...
By his drain pipe. I like that.
Takes things to a whole new level. As you can imagine, anything involving trespass, revenge, and human gifts, bodily deposits, is absolutely not making it onto the air at tea time. But thanks.
But at least it's right next to the drain pipe, isn't it? So it's not got far to go. So that's okay. Also, there's a huge amount of effort involved here.
The drain pipe goes up.
Yeah.
No, the drain pipe, the stuff in the drain pipe goes down.
Yeah, but it's not. She hasn't left it at the top of the drain pipe.
No, but she's left it near the drain pipe. Near the drain pipe where it goes into the
water. Why is she a she?
Water. I thought it was a she.
Jodie can be a man's name.
Jodie, yes, of course.
Could be a man.
Could be a man.
I don't know. I don't understand how these people can just go like anywhere.
On demand.
Yeah, on demand like that. Mm.
Jodie Scheckter,
that's a good one, yes. Jodie Whittaker, that's a woman.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster
won an Oscar, didn't she?
Jodie Foster won an Oscar.
Where are we going with this?
Nice little rhyme sequence there.
Yeah, that's how I remember
it. Pipe.
Also, Martin... You may have been a bored, mischievous teenager in 1974, and I understand that cheap fireworks and a disused quarry might have felt like the perfect recipe for entertainment, but secretly letting off an air bomb repeater over a scout hut from the top of a 20-foot cliff is well beyond youthful hijinks and might be considered vandalism, criminal damage, reckless behaviour, and so on.
Terrible. An air bomb repeater, what's that?
It's a thing.
It's a firework.
It's a firework that goes off in the air. Many times,
because it repeats, doesn't it?
Yes. Really noisy ones that are like boom, 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 boom.
I've never heard a firework
sounds
do
like
that.
Like a disco drum.
Felt like I was back in the 70s there. Yes.
Anyway, enough for that. Let's head on to the confessions that did actually make the cut. Howard's shocking pocket money con. Carry on, Banks.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Prepare, then, for this festive confession from Howard, the penniless parent. Simon and the team, please forgive me for what I'm about to confess. It has lingered in the dusty corners of my conscience for nearly 20 years. It's a tale of thriftiness gone rogue, parental ingenuity turned criminal, and one Christmas that still haunts me every time I hear a piggy bank rattle and the twinkle of Christmas bells. It all began when my twin daughters, 6 years old at the time, were first introduced to the magical world of pocket money. Every Saturday morning, without fail, they would race downstairs in their matching pajamas, clutching their identical pink piggy banks. They'd line up in front of me like tiny accountants, ready to receive their weekly £1.
Daddy, is it Pocket Money Day?
Yes, girls, it is indeed Pocket Money Day.
They adored the ceremony of it, the handing over of the coin, the proud little walk back upstairs, and the carefully choreographed depositing of the pound into the slot of each piggy bank. It was sweet, it was innocent, and heartwarming. And expensive. Now, Simon, I'd love to say I was financially organised at the time, but the truth is my wallet was a perpetual disappointment. Notes, yes, coins, rarely. And never two matching coins. One Saturday, completely coinless, inspiration struck. A bad kind of inspiration. And I crept upstairs, tiptoed into their bedroom, unscrewed the plastic stopper on one of their piggy banks, and retrieved two shiny pound coins. Then, as if I were the most generous father alive, I marched downstairs and handed those very coins back to the girls. They beamed with joy. Thank you, Daddy. No, thank you, I said, with a smug confidence of a man who had just solved a logistical crisis.
Yeah.
They ran back upstairs and, of course, put the money straight back into the same piggy banks I just raided. That should have been the end of it, but it wasn't. Not even close. The following week, the same problem occurred.
Yeah.
No change, what? But the girls were there with expectant faces, so I did it again. And again. And again. Before long, this became a highly efficient weekly routine.
Oh.
Remove a pound from each piggy bank, re-gift it to them ceremoniously, watch them put it straight back, and save myself £2 a week. I became strangely proud of my system. It felt like a sort of domestic cash flow hack, a self-sustaining economy, a parental life hack ahead of its time. Meanwhile, the girls were convinced they were becoming wildly wealthy. Every few weeks, they'd lift their piggy banks, shake them joyfully, and marvel at the amount they must have saved. The sight of their proud little faces should have melted my heart. Instead, I thought, excellent, the system is working brilliantly. And then, of course, Christmas arrived, and with it, the reckoning. My wife announced that this year the girls would buy Nana her Christmas present themselves, using the pocket money they had carefully saved.
Oh.
Well, actually, they were thrilled. Nana was their hero, the queen of biscuits, cuddles, and glittery birthday cards. They wanted to buy her something beautiful. Scarves were discussed, perfume was discussed, sparkly brooches were imagined. My wife fetched the piggy banks, the girls gathered round, I held my breath. She opened the first piggy bank. £5.
Oh.
She opened the second. Also, £5. The twins stared, horrified, and then they burst into tears. I felt my stomach fall through the floor. It should have been so much more. Mummy, someone has taken our money.
Oh, no.
My wife looked furious. I looked at the carpet. A family investigation was launched. The girls had no siblings to blame. My wife knew she hadn't touched the piggy banks. I certainly wasn't about to raise my hand. Okay. Okay, here we go. So attention turned outward. There had been one other person in the twins' room that week, our cleaner. A woman who had been with us for months.
No.
Reliable, kind, quiet. The sort of person who folded towels into neat hotel triangles. My wife confronted her. The cleaner swore blind she hadn't touched the piggy bank. But the evidence, such as it was, two empty pigs and only one possible suspect, stacked against her. Within days, she was dismissed.
Come on.
And I, Simon, said absolutely nothing. That Christmas, the twins used what little loose change we could gather to buy Nana a modest, slightly dented box of chocolates, the cheap sort you get from the supermarket end of aisle display. They apologised to Nana for not being able to buy a bigger present. Nana reassured them, but I could see confusion in her eyes. As for the cleaner, I avoided eye contact the final time she left the house. Her disappointed look still haunts me.
Yeah. Mm.
My punishment, however, began immediately. With no cleaner, I was reassigned all domestic duties, hoovering, dusting, scrubbing, polishing, week after week. Every time I bent down to wipe a skirting board, I swear I could hear a tiny squeak from an imaginary piggy bank crying out, "Thief!" 15 years later, the twins have grown up. They know how money works far better than I clearly did. The piggy banks are long gone, replaced by debit cards and student loans. But the guilt? Well, the guilt remains untouched, unspent, and gathering interest. So I asked the team for forgiveness for my covert cash rotation scheme, for saving £2 a week at the expense of my daughters, for the cleaner who deserves so much better, you're not kidding, but I did find out that she got another job, ironically in a bank, and is now a bank manager. And for Nana...
She's now a bank manager?
Yes, the cleaner. Well done, cleaner. Okay. And for Nana, who received a Christmas present that cost less than a sleigh ride.
Oh.
Though she is now not with us.
Oh, right.
Every year, mention that box of chocolates.
Yes.
Anyway, so, I mean, I just think, you know, there are some things... I reckon halfway through, people are going to go, okay, bit of a scam. And then it got to the cleaner bit and everyone goes,
yeah,
I don't think so. Sister Susie, what are you saying?
Well, yeah, Howard, there's so much wrong with this. I was with him. Like, you know, I quite like a lying to your children confession. I'm all in for that. And that is fine. However, the fact that you didn't at least tell your wife, you didn't own up, and maybe you didn't own up straight away, but then when they blamed the cleaner, you could have said, actually...
There were so many times when he could have said, all right, look...
So many times, rumbled. And I just can't... I'm not surprised her look haunted you, because, yes, you deserved it, Howard, I'm afraid. And also, sad that you didn't get Nana a present. You could have just given the twins money to get Nana a better present. Yeah. Why didn't you do that? You did nothing, Howard, and for that, I can't forgive you.
I think, Howard, you're going to have to spend double at Christmas, and the smart speaker that you're going to get, you need to donate to the bank manager. Okay, go on, get out of that, Matthew.
I'm a little torn on this one, because it's difficult for Howard to plead poverty if he's employing a cleaner. Do your own cleaning, Howard. Do your own hoovering. There you save money then, wouldn't you? You'd have plenty of pound coins left over. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was with them, but you're blaming the cleaner. But now the cleaner's a bank manager now. So, actually... The cleaner has learned a lesson as well. And everyone's learned a lesson, haven't they? And he'll probably never do it again. And Nana's no longer with us, so that doesn't matter. So for all of those reasons, I think I can find it in my heart to forgive.
Wow.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
What lessons has the cleaner learned?
Well, because she's learned to become a bank manager. There she is. Yep. She's very happy. She's very happy with how it's all turned out. Not being accused of stealing from the piggy bank. And now I'm a bank manager. Look at me. She's very, very happy.
Well, there was no forgiveness for Howard on the People's Verdict. But also quite a few calling Matt out for finding a way to forgive, including Guy, who says, Simon, obviously not forgiven. I feel I must go further and say Matt can't be forgiven for being prepared to forgive. Guys in West Lothian.
Yeah.
Well,
it's quite a few of those.
Yes. I think we can all find it in our hearts to forgive certain times, can't we?
Mm. I don't think so. Not in that case.
Yes, yes.
Not even particularly
in this case.
Christmas. Yeah.
Particularly Christmas. Good point, Ollie. Yeah. Good point. If ever there were a season.
He got someone sacked.
He did get them sacked, but then they became a bank manager. So, you know,
well, you don't know. They may have started their own cleaning business and made much more money than they got as a bank manager.
That's true, but she manifested with the banking.
Okay, all right.
And then, there it is.
You've mentioned the M-word again.
Okay, still to come, there's a magical Christmas tale in Pauline's confession. Baby, it's cold outside. But first, it's Tony's confession, par for the course.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's festive confession comes from Tony, Simon and the crew. It was around Christmas, many moons ago. I was 15 years old and just starting to get into golf. I'd played it a few times with a schoolmate called Esso. He was a natural sportsman, good at football.
What? Esso.
Esso, that was
his
name.
The garage.
Yeah, it's the name of the garage. It's also the name of his friend. His friend, I imagine it's a nickname. Maybe he worked at the garage. Can I carry on?
Yes.
He's a natural sportsman, good at football and cricket, and also just getting into golf. He had his own clubs, and I was very envious. So I asked my mum and dad for my own set as a Christmas present, and they agreed. I was dead chuffed. It was a bit of a stretch for them as we didn't have much money. We lived in a council flat in Walsall in the West Midlands. To those who don't know it, Walsall is a small fishing village just off the M6. Of course, I guess it's a working class post-industrial town with great people, but not much money. Anyway, my parents ordered the golf clubs from a catalogue and they arrived about 3 weeks before Christmas. This is the equivalent of ordering them online,
but
it's from a catalogue. Everything takes weeks. They tried to hide them, selecting a really cunning hiding place under their bed. Obviously, I soon worked that out and waited until they were out. I pulled out the box of clubs that they were in and opened the green golf bag. There they were, 2 woods, 5 irons and a putter. I was in heaven. Of course, I couldn't just put them back. I had to try them out. But where? The hall, of course.
Of course.
So I moved the furniture, which included a rather natty coffee table with a green glass top, and made a space to practice my rather jerky golf swing. I had a soft practice golf ball and swung away with gusto. The first 5 swings were textbook, my 9-iron cutting through the air like a knife. However, on my 6th attempt, I miscalculated. and smashed the iron into the glass coffee table.
Okay.
Ah, surprise.
I braced for the inevitable explosion of broken glass, but to my surprise and relief, nothing happened. Not even a scratch appeared. I quickly put the clubs back under the bed and never mentioned what had happened. 2 weeks went by, and my auntie and uncle paid us a visit to deliver our Christmas presents. We let them in, which is nice of us, and as they walked through the hall, my auntie brushed against the coffee table. There was an almighty explosion of green glass, thousands of fragments which covered the whole carpet. My auntie was mortified. She had destroyed our priceless coffee table. My parents were in shock, but tried to reassure my auntie that it didn't really matter. My golf attack had clearly stressed the table's glass so that it was poised ready to blow at the merest touch. I'm not sure of the science, but that's what I'm thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
I did my best shocked face, thinking, I've got away with one here. I, of course, said nothing about what had happened 2 weeks earlier. My auntie and uncle managed to find a replacement after much searching, but apologised that it wasn't the exact shade of green. I felt, and still do feel, very guilty. If my auntie Jill is listening, so he still hasn't fessed up, I am very sorry for letting you think it was your fault, because it was probably mine. I think so.
Yeah.
I beg forgiveness, Father Simon and crew. I was only 15 and it could just have been a complete coincidence that the tabletop exploded when Auntie Jill bumped into it. But I don't think it... Absolutely not. I think you're directly responsible by smashing it. And then poor Auntie Jill, as she floated past in her dress and the whole thing exploded. Suze, what do you say to Tony?
Yeah, Tony, you might have only been 15, but you should have known better. And yes, it was you that caused that. Clearly, that's what you did. And I, you know, might sound like your mother or my mother here, but I don't care how soft your practice ball is. You don't swing a golf club in the hall. Never mind going into opening your Christmas presents when you found them under the bed
thing.
Before it's Christmas.
That's it. If you find them, well, don't go looking. And then if you find them, just leave them
just
there.
Just leave them there. Don't forgive, don't forgive, don't forgive.
Also, it spoils Christmas. What's the point of knowing ahead of time what your present is? Anyway, Brother Matthew will find something.
So, I'm going to forgive because, you know, it's part of the joy of Christmas is being able to, you know, hunt for the prezzies and maybe have a try of them before. Why not?
No.
That's never hurt anyone. Also, I think maybe Auntie Jilly needs to look where you're going, Auntie Jilly, because I think it was you that ruined the coffee table. Also, who put a coffee table in the hallway? That makes no sense. Coffee tables you put in the front room or in the lounge or somewhere else. You don't put them in the hallway, so therefore the system was at fault and actually nothing to do with Tony.
So it's Tony's parents'
fault or Auntie Jilly, who doesn't look where she's going, hither and yon, knocking stuff over. So I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Pauline. Father Simon and your forgiving friends, I'm writing to tell you of a story that my dear departed dad recounted many times. I was 5 years old at the time, and so I'm going to recount some of this from my own five-year-old perspective.
Oh, okay? Wow. Interesting.
It was Christmas Eve, 1964, and we lived in a small first-floor council maisonette in Greater London. We consisted of Mum, Dad, my three-year-old brother, and me. London was blessed with a white Christmas that year, and I remember looking out of the window at the large grassy area that our home overlooked and seeing heavy snow falling and deep snow settling. As was our family tradition, my brother and I put pillowcases at the end of our beds for Santa to fill with gifts in the night. This Christmas night, however, was different to any other that I can remember as a child. Instead of hearing my parents creeping around filling our pillowcases with gifts from Santa, I remember my father lifting me from my bed in the night and taking me to sleep in my parents' bed, something we never did as kids. In the morning, my brother and I were taken into the tiny kitchen to open our presents, and I have a clear memory of being in that kitchen with my brother for much of the day, playing with our presents. We weren't allowed to go into the lounge, and we didn't have our usual Christmas meal. My dad, who never cooked, prepared food for us. Mum was not around, and we had no idea where she was or what she was doing, which is incredible, given what we, and now us, are about to discover. Later on, my dad came into the kitchen and put a surgical mask on my brother and me.
We were then led into the lounge and all became clear. There was my mum lying in bed, which had been moved into the lounge during the night, and mum was holding my brand new baby sister.
Wow.
Mum had been in labour throughout Christmas Day. Goodness. And had just been delivered of this tiny, beautiful, new little person. All this happened while we'd been playing next door in the kitchen.
Wow.
I never ceased to be astounded that we were blissfully aware that my mum was giving birth in the room next door and we didn't notice. Also in the lounge was a very tiny lady dressed in a nurse's uniform who was ushering us around, making sure that we had our masks on. She was the midwife that had attended my mother in childbirth and was a very no-nonsense person who clearly ran a tight ship.
Yes.
After ensuring that my mother and sister were comfortable, she left, promising to return later. It's at this point that I need to explain that unlike today, when things like central heating and double glazing are taken for granted, our home had one coal fire in the lounge and a small paraffin heater in the kitchen. We regularly woke on winter mornings to find thick ice on the inside of our bedroom windows, just the way Matt would appreciate.
Yes, yes he would. Yes.
Now my mother's midwife had put a thermometer in the lounge to check that it was being kept warm enough for my mum and the new baby. My father was expected to make sure that the temperature was correct, not an easy task in the circumstances. Sure enough, later in the day, we would see the midwife returning at the appointed time, tramping across the thick snow on the green towards our house to visit mum. Dad, despite being head and shoulders taller than the midwife, was clearly terrified of her. He checked the temperature on the thermometer and to his horror, it was way too low. Realizing he was about to get a real telling off over this, he dipped the thermometer into his cup of tea until it read the correct temperature.
Yeah, that's fine. Nice.
And replaced it just as the midwife was entering the room. The first thing our diminutive midwife did upon entry was to check the temperature of the room. She was completely satisfied that the room was indeed warm enough. I mean, you'd have thought that maybe there were other things that might make her think it was cold. Anyway, delighted that this ploy worked, my father continued to dip the thermometer into his tea each time the midwife visited, and she never realized that the room was not as warm as she would want. My mischievous dad, who had a wonderful sense of humor, thought it was very funny that he had managed to dupe the midwife into thinking that our lounge was the correct temperature, and recounted this story many times. Father Simon, I'm not asking for forgiveness from the midwife, who I think should have realized that the room was a bit colder and rechecked the thermometer, but I would like to ask forgiveness on behalf of my mum and baby sister for having to endure colder temperatures than they should have done at such delicate time in their lives. That said, I don't think this did my sister too much harm, as she grew up as fit and healthy as her siblings. Wow. Okay, so that's a very... I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No.
Where on earth is this Christmas story going? And the answer was, the mother was giving birth in the room next door and nobody knew. Quite extraordinary. Okay, Sister Susie, what do you say?
Yeah, I just, you know what? I love this, Pauline. I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I didn't understand why your bed was taken away, why you could only be in the kitchen. And I can't understand that you didn't know what was happening next door. Like, how can you not have heard anything? But yeah, I think your dad was very, very funny. I do feel like maybe you should have just made the living room warm enough, really. But it did make me laugh, and it's Christmas,
yes,
almost, so I'm going to forgive.
Brother Matthew.
Perfect Christmas story, isn't it? Giving birth in the front room, excellent stuff, with the coal fire and then the paraffin heater as well. Yes, definitely going to forgive. I love the idea of dipping the thermometer into your cup of tea just before the midwife comes around. Quite right. And if only there were a way of doing that, we'll dip my thermostat in the tea. And that way no one would complain about the heat. But excellent. Well, it's giving us all ideas. So for all those, all of the reasons, including the tea, yes. I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
You just turn the thermostat up. You know? Yeah.
Don't need to dip it in a tea.
No, well, you can't, can you? That's worth saying, we did
on the people's verdict. Oh, hang on, well, it's got the people's verdict.
Oh, we've got the people's verdict. Go, yeah. Oh, good. But Joan in Sydenham says, phew, thought this was going to be a mother ran off with the milkman. But no, it's a fantastic, lovely story and forgiven. That's why tea is a British institution.
But we did have a midwife who said, actually, the temperature in the room is very, very important.
Yeah, they're not just doing it to say it, are they?
So
they're
not forgiven.
It's important.
Yeah, not forgiven. That is very important.
But obviously, you just dismissed that.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, that is the end of our podcast for this week. If you have a tale of guilt and general kind of crazy stuff, you know what we want. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matthew then for this week's secret code phrase?
And the secret code phrase for this week is up the drainpipe. Up the drainpipe is your code phrase for this week.
Makes me think of Down the Dustpipe by Status Quo.
Yes.
Which we should,
wow,
play.
We should definitely play that. Oh,
anyway, yes, if you made it this far, you can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or even Instagram. It's Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram, Simon Mayo on Blue Sky, Matt's on Twitter, so you can find him there. Mm-hmm. Susie and Holly aren't interested in that kind of thing. Remember to...
Because they're so above it.
You don't want to get included, do you, in all this?
I do get included.
You do get included. Oh, Holly, do you get included?
No, I don't.
Well, get included with Susie, and if you can find Holly, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Something like that. Remember to leave us a 5-star review. And of course, as we head into the season of goodwill and gifting, don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. It's the perfect Christmas gift, isn't it? Just to say, my gift to you is there's a good
something
podcast.
Something that's free.
Something that's free.
Here's something free.
Well, people have time over the Christmas holidays.
They do, don't they? We all have
time. Get into new things.
So, yes, good idea.
Back very shortly with a whole bunch of new confessions. Until then, from the pub, but actually here, Sister Susie says.
Ta-ra.
Guarding the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly says.
See you later, Alec Gator.
And from his Christmas gutter, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
There's a little Kurt.
Is that someone's phone?
No.
My phone's quite far.
Well, anyway, goodbye.
It's still very Kurt, though.
That's what the British public have come to expect from me.
Thanks for listening.
Kurt and to the point.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.